200 years after the nuclear holocaust, nature is recovering. People are living a simple farming life governed by the strict rules of the Kirk, which teaches that the devastation was God's wrathful punishment on the people of the old world. The only book allowed is Ezekiel's incantations, and everything that breaks the Kirk's rules is blasphemy. When a young preacher called Father Gideon stands up in the pulpit and says that the devastation was in fact the work of man, he is banished from the Kirk and flees to the north. He is followed by two members of the congregation, Rachel and her young sister Leah, and together they build a new life in the north. Gideon has a handful of classic books from the old people and teaches some of the local children to read.
A Father's Words by Christina Buchanan.
In my younger and more innocent years, my father gave me some advice that I've been turning over in my mind ever since. Gideon looked up from his tattered and much-read volume of Shakespeare's works. Rachel was looking out of the window thoughtfully, her slender frame silhouetted against the sunlight. He smiled. Even though she was now 22 and mother to their baby son Daniel, she still seemed young and innocent to him. "Advice from your father? That bigoted old drunkard." "Bigoted, yes." Rachel turned to face him. "Like all men of his age, I suppose. He knew nothing else. He knew how to use his fists. What was this advice, anyway?" "Not to be trustful. Just because things are going well, we should never forget that they can change suddenly. Happiness can turn to fear and terror in a moment." "He would say that, Rachel." Gideon came over to put his arm around her. It suited Josiah fine to have everyone living in fear and terror. Nothing he liked better. Rachel sighed. "We are happy, aren't we, Gideon? Maybe we're too happy. Remember the summer of the red dust? Everyone said it was the wrath of God." Gideon nodded. Looking out now at the goats, grazing contentedly among the clover and cowslips, the silvery lake beyond, and the mountains rising to the blazing blue sky, it seemed hard to remember the thick clouds of red dust that had blocked out everything for months on end that terrible summer. "It was carried away on the wind, Rachel," he said, kissing her cheek. "All will be well." Rachel glanced out of the window again, and a tiny frown creased her forehead. "Is that one of your students talking with Leah?" Two youngsters had stopped beside the gate, seemingly deep in conversation. A tall, slim girl with fair curls, wearing a plain brown woolen dress and white apron. A young man with a pale face, in knee-length breeches and linen smock. "That's only David," replied Gideon. "I don't like it," Rachel shook her head. "He's a clever boy and studious. She's 13. "So was Juliet. And Rachel, you were not so much older when you left home to follow me to the north and freedom." Rachel sighed again. "You're right. I have always had to protect my younger sister, but she is growing up. Only, there's something else, Gideon. I cannot shake off the feeling that there is danger lurking. And Father's words... Your father was... No. I will not say it, Rachel, but don't let these dark thoughts fill your mind, I beseech you. He is in the past." "David looks a little like Samuel," said Rachel thoughtfully. "Samuel?" "Oh, it's nothing." Later that evening, they sat by candlelight while Gideon read Jane Eyre aloud. You will come some day to a craggy pass in the channel, where the whole of life's stream will be broken up into whirl and tumult, foam and noise. Either you will be dashed to atoms on crag points, or lifted up and borne on by some master wave. The candle flickered. Rachel laid down her sewing. The feeling of danger had not gone away. In fact, it seemed to be growing closer, as if at any moment it might knock on the door. She glanced from Gideon's calm, kind face to that of her sister, flushed pink in the candlelight, as she cradled baby Daniel in her arms. It was a scene of such perfect happiness, and yet they were all to be dashed against the rocks. Samuel calling out to her that day in the yard, "I hear your sweetheart has left. He wasn't such a bad un, if you ask me." Her father, Josiah, struggling to his feet and hurling his flask against the wall, swinging a mighty blow at young Samuel. "Father Gideon was the son of the devil. He has been banished by the God-fearing folk of the kirk." Samuel, lying in the mud. "And you," his hot breath in her face, stinking of liquor, his bloodshot eyes, "and you are the devil's whore."